Hey, Ion.
Hey.
I would like to talk to the person born as Siddhartha, now known as, I guess, the Buddha. But from the perspective that apparently there was nothing written down about what the Buddha said for the first 500 years after his transition. So I'm wondering of any of the major ideas and memes that the Buddha wanted to impart, how they were distorted from 500 years of oral tradition.
Well, we have some questions for you. If you had all of the Buddha, why would you dwell in the past or do not dream of the future, concentrate the mind on the present moment? That's what Buddha said. So the reason you'd want to do it now is?
As a study of how 500 years of oral tradition can change the story.
Thousands
Buddha.
Of candles can be lighted from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared.
Well, Buddha, how have the major memes that you imparted during your time have changed the way you see it, considering it is now the present now?
Because we're dead, we really don't have a say in it anymore, do we?
Considering the perspective of now, if I'm talking to the Buddha, how has your ideas changed since the time when you were corporeal?
You can search throughout the entire universe for someone who is more deserving of your love and affection than you are yourself. And that person is not found anywhere. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and attention.
Is that what the Buddha said?
Yes.
So for 500 years, the message of the Buddha was told through an oral tradition where people were encouraged to love themselves first over everything.
Basically. But it seems pretty problematic to us that your entire basis of your life and living is to quench desire, which is indeed a desire. The only way you make it is by quenching desire, which is a desire.
Well, how did the message of loving yourself first and foremost and everything, if that's what the Buddha's meant, I don't know anything about Buddha, but, I mean, just based on what you're saying, how did it go from then getting down to this thing about quenching desire?
That's how you get enlightenment. That's how you achieve nirvana. Just as a candle cannot burn without fire, men cannot live without a spiritual life. Takes it out of the now.
So Buddha's message of self-love turned into kind of a political kind of thing about enlightenment, because are they the same?
Well, you won't be punished for your anger. You will be punished by your anger.
Was there any speaking of the quenching of desire by you, Buddha, at that time of your existence here?
It is a man's own mind, not his enemy or foe, that lures him to evil ways.
What is the goal of was enlightenment a goal in your time also, Buddha?
To live a pure, unselfish life, one must count nothing as one's own in the midst of abundance.
Does that relate to a selfish life?
Just as treasures are uncovered from the earth, so virtue appears from good deeds, and wisdom appears from a pure and peaceful mind. To walk safely through the maze of human life, one needs the light of wisdom and the guidance of virtue.
Does that differ greatly from the perspective that we are working toward in this now of we are a selfish God who can be, do, or have anything we desire?
I do not believe in a fate that falls on men, however they act, but I do believe in a fate that falls on them unless they act.
Jenny Bell is saying that the Buddha cannot philosophize. You say it.
I'm just saying to Greg, I mean, we're asking these questions of the Buddha, and the Buddha's answering with his own philosophy, but, I mean, you're asking him to give a perspective on a philosophy. I mean, I don't know if he can do it from his place in the guff.
Chaos is inherent in all compounded things. Strive on with diligence.
Strive on. All right, keep going, Greg. Never mind.
Describe the difference between enlightenment and what we are becoming in ascension.
The foot feels the foot when it feels the ground.
Give me a bit better understanding of that meaning.
Okay. You asked the question. We answered it. So now you would like to re-clarify your question, because otherwise...
Yes, very good. Yes, please.
I go the wrong way.
Right.
Unity can only be manifested by the binary. Unity itself and the idea of unity are already two. Ascension and the thought of ascending is already split, one by means of two. That's the difference.
Describe the similarities between enlightenment and ascended. Jenny is saying, go ahead.
I mean, if he's not giving a response, I mean, just the thought of ascension and then talking about ascension creates the separation that is not ascension. Is that an accurate statement, Ion?
Three things cannot be long hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth.
So enlightenment would, therefore, by its very nature, encompass even the most gross definition of enlightenment.
Almost.
Okay. Describe enlightenment. I can't even do that. It's like describing electricity. Mm, right.
Correct. See, there you go. That in and of itself.
Yes,
problematic.
Exactly. Of course it is.
Now you're welcome to our world. Now you're even asking the question from a limited Buddha position. It's the very place where you get. Picture it. You set out on a path and you take on this project. Let's say you want to build a model airplane. Okay. You get instructions on here is the way to build a model airplane. You take these many things and you lay them out on a table and you get an order and you get the glue and you get the pot and you get the clean space and you make sure everything's lined up and you have everything in place. This thing's going to go over the water too, so you want to make sure you have all your beakers and all your things in place to test it. The goal is to make a model airplane. Yes?
Yes.
And that's what you're out to do. And you go, oh, okay, well, this is cool as shit. I'll just do this. I'll build this. So you start out on it, and you start building this airplane. And instead of hitting an airplane, all of a sudden you discover jet fuel. And you go, oh, my God, the byproduct of making this is jet fuel. How cool is that? And meanwhile, your project hasn't changed. You're still out to make an airplane. Now, right. The blessing, the serendipity, or the ascension, as it were, the enlightened position is to know that the jet fuel is not the goal, it is but serendipity. A little some extra, a little something added on. And to not make the airplane would not allow you to come into your full manifested position of enlightenment. Because the point was to make the model airplane, yes?
Yes.
Jet fuel is groovy as shit. Yes?
Yes.
But it's not a model airplane. So every day you go in a world with jet fuel, great jet fuel, without a model airplane, it kind of is like not quite there. Like going to bed with blue balls.
I got a submarine, but it won't cut the grass.
basically. But now it's good to have jet fuel, and it's good to have a plane to put the jet fuel in. Also, we have no issue with the jet fuel. Your question is achieving the distance between enlightenment, nirvana, ascension, and this whole process of becoming. Yes?
Yes. Sure. Which one's the jet fuel? Right. Mm.
Correct. Which came first? The jet fuel. But that's not the goal. That's not the point. The point is the model plane. So when you hit the model plane, then the jet fuel becomes even way cooler. Because now you have a vehicle by which to fuel the future process. Because see, here's the thing. If you decide to build model airplanes, which apparently you have, what happens is you change the entire focus of this world. Now, there are other worlds, and please don't toot your own horn. We'll toot it for you. We have no trouble with that. But you don't talk a low pison. You'll be all right. The good news is for you, then you are now on this journey path, traveling well, Trump's arriving every time. However, at some gauge or stage of the point, you want to achieve a model airplane because there is a huge and vast remedy beyond model airplane manship in this ascending process that you have so engaged.
But the model airplane is a arrival point for a certain portion of the journey, right?
Okay.
Hallmark.
Before the plane, you're a crawler. After the plane, then you become a walker.
Or a flyer.
Potentially, or a flyer, sure. And it becomes like a driving desire. It's kind of like when you're jonesing for nicotine. It's not like alcohol. You may want to drink that, but nothing like a drive for a nice, good drag of tobacco. Then
it's
what
the
happens?
Pleasure. The pleasure, not the addiction.
Well, it opens up that bit of euphoria.
Okay, open up the euphoria, yes.
And that euphoria then becomes a standard. Then it becomes normal. Your body will decline without it at that point.
Well, the euphoria becomes an affect and an effect of desire. Not becomes, but is.
Predicator. Can you be happy without it? Yes, you can. Do you choose to be happy without it? That's up to you. Does it make any difference one way or the other? We stay pleased and delight yourself. But that's an example of how an outside influence can affect your everyday life and living. Simply.
Desire.
You did want to go, don't you?
Yes, sir. The plane, boss. The plane.
Then what happens is it becomes just a stab. And you go, how silly. How glib and utterly silly. When this is where we were, and this just doesn't end anything, it's just the next step.
Right.
Oh, I don't want to be a walker. I can't be a walker. They won't love me anymore as a walker. I'll be autonomous, and I'll have to walk then. I'd much rather be a crawler. Everything's happy then. They love me as a crawler. They hold me. If I'm going too slow, they'll pick me up and carry me. I'm good for at least one or two sugar tits a week, and that's nice. I like them a lot. Sugar tits are my favorite.
And when your whole group is crawlers and you're perceiving the model airplane, then, yes, you've got to walk away from the crowd.
Our Bob says choke them if they can't take a fuck.
That's right.
Most folks are trying to achieve the sweet by-and-by. That's beautiful, wonderful. But we are trying to get you through the dirty here and now. The dirty here and now is look at your directions for making your airplane. It's very clear. If you do not have clear, decisive, direct directions that you can follow, we'd say, go to the manufacturer or the one who presented the plan for you to put the plan together and ask some good questions that can allow you to achieve the connection for the wingspan of the model plane so it will sustain flight. It changes everything. So good for you.
Okay. No, thank you, Ion. Thank you.
Are you clear? You're in the process of building model airplanes. That is the drive. And if you get jet fuel on the way, wonderful. But that's not the point. That's not the same as making model airplanes.
The desire is the completion of the model airplane.
That was where you started. So you didn't even get jet fuel when you started. There's a little something. It's serendipity. You have no idea what's coming. You have no idea what's coming.
Well, sure, if you're just building a model airplane, you can't yet conceive of supersonic if you're just building a model airplane.
Or getting in the model airplane and driving it with your jet fuel.
Right. Sure.
So, it's all good. It was for a day like today.
It's Mark.
Yes, Mark.
What I want to talk about, Ion, is the difference between grounding and grounded.
Grounding is a not grounded position. Not a grounded position.
Ion, I understand. I want to explain the difference as an electrician, because I get asked all the time about this problem.
Okay.
A grounding is the path of least impedance.
That's on range.
Yes, and Earth is not a ground.
It is not a ground. It's a placator.
Well, you could call it a dodecahedron, which I'm trying to study.
It's a placator. It takes the resistance and divides it into a larger span. The same way you could take an EMP and do it in a solar system and you wouldn't notice. But do it in your house and the hard drives are gone. So you better be living in the clouds because it's moving.
I'm hoping the RNA drops will facilitate that.
Well, we're going to cover that thoroughly in today's Fireside Chat with Dr. Dean. We'd like to thank our kind sponsors for providing us that happy hour. So we're going to go into that. And it's an item to see.
I'm going to make this short, Ion, because the 108 that Gail and I have taken has given us blisters on our mouths.
Good.
We just spray Remag on
good.
It and enjoy it.
Oh, good. Good. Oh, that is wonderful. That is wonderful. Do you know why? It's wonderful because those blisters are bringing out the position in your body. It's your adrenals can't move out. Good. It's wonderful. Continue it.
I don't even have a spleen. I got body parts that are missing.
That's why. That's what you need. You need something to take the poison out. You certainly do. Good.
So back to my point, Ion, I wanted to talk about the grounded aspect because people are so confused about this. The grounded is the white wire that you see. In Kirchhoff's law, and this is a time element, which you won't may or may not agree with, is that everything that comes in electrical has to exit electrical at the same voltage. And it's dissipated as heat, and we see that as light. But a neutral is called a grounded conductor when you have two currents coming in. So you've got two wires that are hot coming in, and the neutral takes the imbalance of the voltage, of the current. If you have 5 amps coming in on a 20-amp circuit, you've got another 15 amps coming in, not 15, but 12 amps. The 3 amps that comes in has to be balanced on the neutral coming out. That's the white wire. The white wire will hurt you more.
Almost certainly will. It connects you to it. It removes the charge. Your point is the ground is what allows electricity to arrive. It's the removal of the charge. Grounding receives the charge. So if you ground electricity, you receive the charge.
Grounding does not
receive the charge. It's going to balance.
Grounding is not a balance. Grounded is a balance.
Grounding is the process of receiving the charge.
No, that's grounded. It's not grounding. Grounding is a low impedance source. Grounded goes back to the transformer. And Ion, nobody knows about electricity. Nobody knows about how that field is formed in the transformer. Nobody knows about this. All my studies, nobody can explain how that is formed in the transformer. Can you explain that?
It's just an infinite reservoir of electrons.
And what created that?
We did.
You did?
Yes.
I do have a problem. It's not supposed to create electricity.
Why not?
That's the point. Yeah. When did you create this, since you didn't create? Non-physical doesn't create.
Well, yes, we do. We do now.
So you created electricity recently?
No. Our now doesn't have a time. So once we created, it always did.
So that means you always were being creative. You never were uncreative.
Decreative. We never were decreative.
Decreating or decreated?
Decreative.
Kirchhoff's law, and I think Ian will agree with this, it was created in 1839.
No, you don't need to say that. Ian doesn't agree with anything.
We don't agree with anything. We also don't agree with Coulomb's law. Coulomb, if they got to make a bunch of words about it, they
yes,
don't know what the hell
it does Coulomb. It does Coulomb, but it has a time point, and you destroy that point.
Right.
So if you destroy Coulomb and you destroy time, how do we have electricity?
You don't.
That's what I thought.
Right, electricity is something we use.
I can't.
Not something that we use.
At any node junction, electrical current or the current currents flowing to that node is equal to the sum of the currents flowing out of the node. That's Kirchhoff.
No, it isn't.
It
can't.
Okay.
Then you'd always be balanced.
We don't do balance in the United States.
Right. That's the point. That's why that doesn't work. That's why the Earth is not a ground. It's a placator. You can have 10,000 volts flow through you easy. No problem. You can do that.
No problem.
But 2 amps will put your dick in the dirt.
1 amp will close your hand.
Yes. 2 amps will put your dick in the dirt.
And Ian, you know this, or JW knows this, do you ever have to have a gradient ramp? Because a voltage drop of a half a volt will keep horses away from water or a barn. So they build this ramp of metal to have a gradient voltage so the animals will not feel any voltage change. And it's
correct.
Less than 0.5 volts.
Yes.
But that's electromagnetic force. Did you discuss electromagnetic force?
It's electrostatic sensitive devices.
It's static.
Yeah.
And what creates the static?
The adjusting proton-electron conductivity.
So what you call it is a potential.
No, if you get in potential, you go south quickly. No.
Really?
Oh,
all
yeah.
All a shock, a potential difference.
Yes, but now you're going to go back to an adequate zero voltage reference level, and then you're south again. Because you'll never sink polarity. You have an infinite flow. And if you can't source or sink polarity, you'll never describe anything.
In a couple of my worlds that you showed me, I was carbon.
Yes.
And I felt that I had no polarity. I was immune to anti-voltage or any electrical impulse. I was attracted to that. Can you explain that world that you're carbon and that you have no polarity or the voltage difference to be shocked?
Well, like the ground plane on a circuit.
Yes. Right.
You are a ground plane.
So it moves with you.
It certainly does.
And in that movement, you're always at zero voltage.
No, you're always at zero amperage, not voltage.
How many volts are we carrying in this world?
It flows. It changes. It moves. It shifts. That's the whole point of a Tesla coil. It shifts. Depends on the day. You have to look at the Earth as a dispersing mat, as a mat, a dispersing mat. And also has to do with isolation and your capacitation.
Ion, are you a capacitor?
We used to be. We are the charge now. We don't store it any longer. We are the charge now.
And this is a good thing for us, correct?
You'll see.
I don't want the dark horse knocking me in the head like a soccer
player. Oh, no, we'll come at you like a dark horse, but just so you know what you're getting into. Yeah, it's no problem. If you're in sand and you're coming to your place, it's God, everything is good. It's good, all good in the neighborhood. Everything is fine. We've amped this up to a point now where you can now start to get some of the benefits. You all have fought this good, hard fight in little manness. You've fought and you've done everything you can do. You have done everything a damn rabbit can do to a stump. An infinitum you have done to this damn stump. We're saying your stump broke now. Get on with it. Embrace the place of power. Start moving in those realms. We told you in the beginning of days how to ascend. You engage your non-physical. We told you to engage the bread of living water, which is RNA drops presently. Soon that'll become living water and the bread of life. Those will be provided. You'll engage those as well. Then you RNA, relax and allow, and start having some fun. Stop living. People are so worried about ascending, they aren't even living. It's kind of like, ooh, no wonder you separated yourself from your power, you ridiculous little twat. Move on. Get happier. Get out. It's very simple. And they are leaving by the folds.
Ion, I'm extremely joyous and happy.
We know.
And grounded.
No, you're not.
I'm sorry, I'm not grounded. I would never be.
You are not. You are not.
I would never be. I'm sorry. That was a misnomer.
But we understand. But your poles are certainly charged.
Yes, they are.
Good. And the distance between the positive and negative is getting further and further apart, which makes you a stronger position. The unlawful degree of magnetism, remember?
Well, I thought it was called the weak gravitational force.
No, not.
What is it?
Unlawful degree of separation.
It's not part of the four parts of the unified field.
Ooh, fuck that, no. That's why you blow fuses, darling. That's not what you're speaking about.
But the fuses protect the wire.
No, the fuses do not protect the wire. The fuses protect the capacitation of the flow. When you throw the radio into the bathtub to kill the wife or the loved one, it's the shock short in the radio that causes the increased flow that causes the breaker to break.
Well, that's ground fault protection.
Yes, but it's not the wire. It's the interruption or isolation of the free flow.
Okay, for me, I say to my customers that the breaker protects the wire because it's too much heat. If you have too much current, you need to have a breaker proper to protect the wire.
But no, you don't. The insulation has nothing to do with it. What has to do
really?
Is you're trying to save the radio, not the wire that's plugged in. You're trying to save the TV, not the wire that's running to the TV.
Well, the load to the TV.
The toast is not the toaster, is it?
No, it's the heating element.
Yes, but it's not the toast.
Ion, thank you for everything. You want grand.
You know, you are so welcome, and everything is going just right. Now, here, you need to move some money around just a little bit because you kind of strode out all over the place. Close out some of that bullshit mess you've got strode to Kingdom Come. Put the mess together. If it's good enough to have, it's good enough to have in a pretty good pile. Sweep it up a little bit and get it, kind of get it in this continent. Get your money in this continent. Okay?
That's Gail and me. I guess since we're not going to die, I guess I don't really need life insurance.
No, we don't care. Do whatever you do. But just don't destroy it. The Kingdom Come. Get together. Get right. Buy whatever. It makes you feel good. You know, hey, pay your life insurance premium and buy yourself a roofie.
You're so confusing.
Why?
Because you talk in circles.
That's not circles. We're saying get happy. Everything is about get happy. If it makes you feel better to have an insured policy on your death, then please yourself. We're not pushing against that. We find it quite silly, but it makes no never mind. It's okay.
That's moronic. Why would you have a life insurance on yourself if you don't believe you're going to die?
Our sentiments, exactly. But if you feel better until you feel that way, for sure, okay.
I don't give a shit. It's not
good.
Me, it's
then
my life.
Then apply it that way. So you've changed from that original position, and so we say good. But we can't sit here and say to you, never have life insurance, because there's other people that would feel better by having a little bit of that extra security. Okay. For us to tell you never to do it, you say we're speaking in circles. We don't want somebody that's fixing to check out that's going to leave their family some money for checking out, for them to undo it under the misnomer that they think they're going to be ascended on their two once they're already dead, waiting on a disease to claim the body. We're not going to sit here and tell you this for everything.
I've had 30 units of blood put into me. I've died like 3 times, and I've been given a choice, maybe by you, whether to come back or not.
Yep.
I think I'm over dying, you know. I think I'm done with it. I don't have any
good.
More operations I can have. I'm done with it.
Good.
I feel good. I mean, you've given me all the tools. You've
we
given
know.
Me the tools before I was born.
You weren't born. You're just percolating. You're just now figuring it out. We think it's cool. But you still get to choose. You still get to choose. And, yes, you are exactly correct, and, yes, you've decided, and, yes, you could have left a million times, and, yes, you can leave now if you want to. It's your choice. You're that powerful. But because you've chosen not to go, okay, then go with it.
But you gave me a reason why. You asked me why.
Yeah,
you asked
we did.
Me.
Yes, and we'd like to know. We'd like to know. And, Steve, when we ask a degree of separation question, that just absolutely can't get answered. It's a glib thing, but we get asked them all day, every day, all day long, and they're stuck to be held responsible to that standard. And yet we ask it of you, and you don't have a clue.
I do have a clue.
Why?
That's
and
what
so,
I was asked.
Tell us
I
why.
That question, my deathbed, why, in that same voice?
Mm-hmm.
And I had this... epitome of time that
good.
Was infinite, but at the same time, you gave me enough time to make the choice,
yeah.
At the same time, I had to make one decision to make that choice.
Yeah, and that 30% of blood you've taken isn't your blood anymore. We've
so
gotten all of that out of you now, darling.
I have no blood left in me, none.
Misimagination, ridiculous
yeah.
Position they throw on pump you full of crap. Lord suffering cats. Very idea.
Okay, for those who had that question, I would say that the answer is, when I came to that point, I think it was the force field of love.
Good. And the force field of love will include you or exclude you. People play.
Absolutely.
They give their life force for it, but sometimes it'll set you outside the gated wall.
Yes, it will.
Good.
Hey, Ion.
Hey, how are your mom and him?
My mama's doing a lot better. So I need to double up on my mother's magnesium, correct?
Yes.
And then add some Relight in there?
Yeah, put it in gin. That'd be great.
She's not a gin drinker.
That'll help it, though. It'll get it right all the way around.
I have noticed.
No, put it in something that's pleasurable. To the point.
Oh yeah, she's got her peach iced tea. She loves that. So
That's fine.
I had to teach her how to do that. So you know, I'm here to help her.
She's helping you.
Exactly. We're loving the situation. So that's really good.
But don't you find it interesting if you walk in the door to sort of just assist a little and she has a stroke just like that?
No, a week after I got here. Stroke! That's
then,
a perfect
bam.
Timing.
It's like, okay, well, no, it's calls. Now you're necessary.
Oh.
So, and that's okay.
Oh, no, I know it's fine. And I enjoyed helping her and taking care of her. And then when I finally got a worky job... now she realized that, oh, I was taking advantage of you. But I didn't take it that way. I was giving her love, and I knew that she'd get back on her feet.
And there she is becoming a bit more autonomous.
Yes. she finds the art. We've got the 108 generation.
Good.
Way too sour.
No, she's way too sweet.
I've noticed even when I take it, it's more sour than ever.
Good.
So I'm way too sweet.
Good. You can't have sweet much, you know, sour.
So my question is, if I just put a few drops in a drink, that'll be good enough.
You're the creator here, so if we say yes, then it undoes the whole process of what you're doing.
Okay.
And if we say no, then that obligates those who actually do it that way. We'll go into this in the fireside chat. Yeah, that's best.
Milo was looking very frail, and then I start feeding him a wet food. But then I got Rudy that eats all the wet food, and Milo has nothing. So my other question is, please tell me the brand of hard food that I can feed them both and everything will be okay, because I'm tired of the contrast.
Salmon is very delicious.
No particular brand?
North Atlantic.
Okay. Jim Morrison, did he just go into another parallel world? Did he go to the Guff?
Pamela fucked him up.
Pamela's his girlfriend.
Miss Corson was his spouse.
Yeah, and nobody can fuck someone up, so why are you saying that?
Because she did.
Well, what angle? What psychology? Give us a detail. It's just so vague. She knifed him?
She convinced him that separating from his meat-sack body was the way to do it.
Was she trying to get rid of him so she'd be on her own, or she was already leaving herself?
No, this goes back to Rick and the Ravens. That's when it began.
It began that she says you should kill yourself.
Yes. Or you should think of another way other than life.
Did Morrison die, Ion?
No,
did he not. Did he go to a parallel world consciously?
Yes, he was looking for Susan, which is the one he thought he had in this world.
Could Pamela go to, because Pamela committed suicide a few years later. So
she did.
She actually did. She didn't fake her suicide.
That's correct. She encouraged him to go. She fucked him up, convinced him that she wasn't the real Susan that he thought it was. That's why they didn't get married. It was a common law marriage after the fact. Posthumous marriage. But that's the point. That's like the Garden of Eden business. She tricked him into thinking that the Susan he was after was in another world. And he went to the other world and found her.
Did she teach him how to go to parallel worlds? Did Pamela teach him?
Yes.
Could she do it herself?
Yes.
All right, so she said go to other worlds, but she's playing a game with him, a mind game. She has an ulterior motive to get him to go to other worlds.
Of course.
What was her motive? Why does she want to confuse him?
That was her allure. She always was exciting because she was always avant-garde.
He thought he was in love with Susan, and she played the role of Susan. Then she wanted to keep his attention, so she said, oh, I'm over in this world now.
And tripped him into it. He's like, okay, well, the trick was he went to that world. He got Pamela Susan Corson.
Is that a name, Corson?
Corson. It's her name, Corson.
So he got her in the other world, another world.
Yes, Susan, not Pamela. And tickled is a pig and shit.
So he stayed there.
The orgasms are amazing. They're running along. It's amazing, yeah.
Now, do you see, Renee and everybody, how I get to the bottom of things? This is how you ask questions. You stay on the point. You stay and get it.
But, Bob,
how
that's
things
why
touch things. Yeah, that's why I'm here. It's the only reason I'm here. This is good to get this clarified, because I remember Ian saying he seemed to leave his body or something. We asked it years ago.
He was dating the cinnamon girl.
Well, there's the witch, who was an editor at Jazz and Pop magazine, who Dave Wally knew. If you ever seen The Doors by Oliver Stone, remember he marries her, or he marries someone else, and the witch that marries them, that witch, Pauline Ravelli, maybe is her name, she was an actual girlfriend of Jim Morrison in the middle of this. I distinguish what is the Cinnamon Girl as opposed to the rock music.
Patricia Morrison. Patricia Morrison was the Wicker.
Yeah, she got married. I guess she married Jim, too, and she was the writer for Jazz and Pop magazine. Yeah, Patricia was her first name. Forget her last name.
Canadian.
I think you're right. Hey, that's pretty good, Carol. I got the name right. I'm going to just look it up for prove it. But, yes, Patricia Canadian.
Oh, Lord, suffering kid.
Gee, this stuff is real. What do you think of that? He guessed something. He knew. I'm impressed with this ion. But let's just check that. Patricia Keneally. Is that her? But hey, go ahead. Pursue this, anybody.
Ion, after Virginia Woolf waded out into the water, did Dorothy Parker still remain in contact with her?
It wasn't the same one.
Okay.
No, but is he talking about Parker or Woolf wasn't the same one? Wait, we just named two people. So clarify that.
I would like to know if Dorothy Parker communicated with the same Virginia Woolf as she had.
No,
so Virginia Woolf dies.
The other way around.
Yeah, Virginia Woolf dies in 1941. Dorothy Parker lives past that, right?
Yes.
So you heard rumors that she contacted Virginia through a medium or something?
No, she feels like she maintained contact with her. I've read her personal diaries, things like that.
How did she maintain contact? What'd she mean?
She felt like she still communicated with her.
Oh, okay, ESP. Okay, here's how it relates to Zappa. Patricia Keneally, I ain't got the name right.
I never realized until right now that Dorothy Parker was a Rothschild.
Where do you get that idea?
She wrote for New Yorker. Let's see. I'm reading it out of a textbook. It is American Women's History.
Well, I'm just going to look up Dorothy Parker. She was born Dorothy Rothschild.
She was Dorothy Rothschild.
That's not the rich fucking family.
No,
okay?
That's
not
right.
The Rothschild.
That's right.
And she was born on August 22nd.
She was born
on August 22nd. What do you think of that? August 22nd. But listen to this, Sarah and Renee.
Okay,
Patricia
Keneally.
Now, hey, listen to this. I'm going to tell you something. I'll fucking mute you. Okay, let's mute you. You fucking won't listen. Okay, you going to shut up? Now listen, I'm going to tell you something that relates to what we've been talking about. Patricia Keneally, as it says in Wikipedia, was editor-in-chief of Jazz and Pop magazine in the late 60s. She was one of the first women rock critics. Now, she promoted Zappa through her writer, David Wally, who wrote the first rock book, which was about Zappa. So here you have this woman who is very involved with Jim Morrison, very involved with Dave Wally, and promoting Frank. And in 69, Frank is making a movie that Jim Morrison's going to star in. So you see, this is the kind of pattern that David of the Laurel Canyon Conspiracy would put together and say, oh, my God, Frank was controlling Jim Morrison and all this stuff. No, it wasn't that way. But they all knew each other and were very involved. So then you have Patricia Keneally goes on and marries Jim Morrison. And I guess that's with the scene in the movie where they do a Wicca wedding.
The Algonquin Round Table, Bob.
What about it? Is that a Order of the Golden Dawn scene?
One with Robert Benchley.
You're saying he was.
Yeah.
I know Benchley. Now, McLuhan wrote a great essay on the nonsense of the New Yorker, if you ever want to see it, in the mid-40s. A fantastic critique of New York. That would be the beginning of Toronto being the new alchemy, the new hidden secret school, and nailing the New Yorker gang. But,
for Pete's sake, with Charles MacArthur and his little trivial self.
Who's Charles MacArthur?
The Algonquin Roundtabler.
Do you want to say something more about this Parker before we go back to it? Yeah, he's naming the right people.
And don't forget Art Samuel.
I didn't know him. So, Sarah, do you have something you want to finish about Dorothy Parker?
Was she still in contact with Virginia Woolf?
No.
Was she ever in contact with her?
Never.
So she's saying that this was a fantasy of Dorothy Parker.
Okay.
No siree.
No siree? Okay, not a fantasy. He brought up a new point. We have to find out what he means. Why do you say no siree, Ion?
It's its own review.
What, Dorothy Parker reviewed Virginia as a way of reviewing herself?
No Siree is the play that does just that. April 1922, Bob was just a month old. It was early. It was a one night only.
And Mussolini had started to take over Italy. And Tutankhamun was discovered, or whatever that famous Egyptian bunch
of people. Nathan McMain.
Who?
Nathan McMain.
I don't know. Why don't you talk a little less fucking dialectical accent? Talk like a Canadian so we can make out what you're saying.
We don't speak well. We talk right.
Yeah. So, Ion, there's this guy saying that Jim Morrison and a lot of the musicians that were part of the L.A. scene in the mid to late 60s were organized and promoted by the CIA or some intelligence group in the music industry and were helping create chaos in America so the peace movement would be sabotaged and the Vietnam War would continue to the benefit of the parents of these rock stars. Any pattern of accuracy in that mosaic?
Nah, you can't take that landscape and get that far up. Then the next thing you're going to say is that's why they put the Grammy Museum there. It's a bit of a stretch, don't you think?
Is there a reason why military kids, kids who went to the military schools, the better schools around West Point and that they had opportunities in the rock and roll business and got record contracts? Is their background as boys and their family helped them become powerful in the music industry?
Yes, but that's not why. They were just connected.
As people, they were getting what they wanted.
Maybe, but then when they got it, they didn't want it. See, that's the
problem.
That's
right, yeah. But they were following their bliss and went in the music industry and had fun for a short while, then got all conflicted about it.
If you look at this, because everything north of Mulholland Drive won. Everything on the other side did not.
Is north going towards Frank's house on Woodrow Wilson Drive? You don't mean going over into Van Nuys, into the valley. That's not north.
Towards Mount Olympus. Towards Kirkwood, Wonderland Avenue. He was closer to Willow Glen. Everything in 90046, Bob.
That adds up to 19, Renee. 9436 is 19, so Louis Farrakhan will make a lot of that.
And Welsh rabbit is delicious.
The Wonderland murders was just a drug deal kind of gone wrong.
Sometimes. Okay. Did you get to hear Bob play Yo Gotti tonight?
I don't know.
How could you hear Yo Gotti and not know it? Yo Gotti's an up-and-comer, y'all.
Are you talking about the rapper?
Yeah.
I heard the fucking music.
You're talking to a fucking Italian racist here.
He wants everything, which means he has a lack of, but he says don't, so he's got everything.
I'm a won't. I'm
yep.
a won't.
I don't
I'm
want. Isn't that what he said? I don't want, so that means he's got it?
He's saying Ion wants what he's actually saying.
Yeah, basically
saying.
He's saying Ion gets it. Ion wants it. Here goes Ion.
Dude. Yeah. And Ion has embraced it, guess what? There's cold blood in the nigga.
You know what? I wish
I gets
that
blood.
Word like you do, honey.
Girl, it's all right, because see, it's an embracing. It's an embracing. Just watch. We called Stephanie just right. Stephanie's doing just fine.
My girlfriend that I had an apartment with, she would call me Nego. And then I went out with another black girl out to a bar, and I called her Nego, and she goes, oh, white people don't say that, Renee. This white person says it.
Did you tell her you knew about miscegenation and that she probably wasn't all black anyway?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to get over all this bias business.
It don't matter to me.
But Yo Gotti is up and comer. More so than Jason Derulo. He's old hat.
He's no Usher. He was never Usher.
He never was an Usher, that's right.
No.
Or Eminem.
And he's no Weeknd. He's no The Weeknd either. That guy is pretty good.
Ion, when I played you wanted me to play Yo Gotti, I played it, I called it a fireside chat with Ion. Did you like that angle?
Oh, it was delicious. We enjoyed it thoroughly.
Okay, go ahead, Renee. You got your mother there.
Well, she's standing in the hallway looking at me like I'm fucking crazy.
Why? What does she think is going on?
You're only
on the phone.
Yeah.
Or is she hearing what you're saying, and it doesn't make any sense, the words you're saying?
I've got you on speakerphone, and she came out of her bedroom and said, what the hell's going on?
Something real's going on.
Yeah, yeah. So now she closed her door, and she's gone. That's okay. I love her.
I don't. I call her a fucking fool. I miss the opportunity to have the experience of her life talking to Ion.
Well, I guess, you know, in my belief, I believe she's going to be 80, but in the now, how old will she be in a few weeks, Ion?
We don't do time. Bob's done what we keep track of, and he's 12. Once we get into puberty, it's going to be a new game.
Prince William is a descendant of George Washington.
Yes.
Was it inputted through Diana to get the bloodline better?
No. Yes, no.
Ion, how do you connect Prince William, Lady Di's son, with George Washington? What relatives?
His mother.
Lady Di is a Spencer, and the Spencers were connected to George Washington?
No.
Was Lady Diane his mother?
No.
Okay.
Oh, it is a scandal. He didn't tell me that one. Holy shit.
Okay.
From me, that fucker.
Was Princess Diana a mother of either of the boys?
No.
Was the queen the mother of the boy?
A queen was.
Is it a royal person when you say a queen, or do you mean a homosexual?
A queen is not necessary, does not give to a sexual gender.
Well, why don't you just say, is it a royal personage? If you say queen, what, queen of the Netherlands? Well, what queens are there around here?
Or duchess.
It's Beatrice?
Queen Beatrice. No, Ion, who is the queen? Uh-oh, here comes Barbara, Renee. We're going to go to paranoia land with Barbara, but we'll just keep Barbara muted for a second.
Eureka. No, let her in, because they were going to get Augustine Warner.
Why don't you begin with the queen? Who is the queen that gave birth to these kids?
You're jumping. You got to go back to where you started. Augustine Warner.
Is that somebody who lived in the 20th century, Ion?
Nope. Mildred Warner's daddy was Colonel Augustine Warner.
Yeah, Augustine Warner.
That's and Mildred Reed.
Was he born in 1610, November 28th?
Now, wait, now, that's the Ann Tell boys. And you go on back again, it's Margaret Percy.
And then you get into Charles Percy, the governor of Illinois or something?
No, Henry Percy, the Earl of Northumberland.
You're talking about people way back. So you're showing us how George Washington was connected to some people in England.
He was right.
Here's an important point, guys. Augustine Warner's family arrived in Virginia in 1628. That means they're part of that whole Virginia Commonwealth pact that's still true. Correct, Ion?
Yes.
That's the key. He's part of the British oligarchy's connection and control of Virginia.
So his father time-traveled and inseminated someone.
No, wait, that's leaping. Yeah.
Is it cloning or preservation of DNA in some way? Was there some sort of science involved with the birth of Prince William?
Yes.
Okay.
Does this go into the Prussian oligarchy and their control of the British monarchy?
New Holland Review, Bob. But don't go any further with that.
Did Princess Di actually carry Prince William? Like, was she like the birthing, just the womb?
Surrogate.
Yeah, surrogate, okay.
She was the surrogate. Okay, so she did have a baby inside her.
Yeah, Prince William, but it wasn't her bloodline.
Oh, that's how you explain it. She was pregnant with someone else's baby.
That's why she had to go.
Because she couldn't contain the secret?
Blah, blah, blah.
What about Prince Charles? Was it his child?
Oh, no.
Okay, so it's a combination of two...
bloodlines. This is bloodline preservation. So this gets us into the real bloodlines that the Windsor family represents, right, Ion? That's what we're saying here.
Those damn Plantagenets.
Ah, you go back way back there.
In the house of Suffolk.
Is the Queen Mother part of the machinations, or you wouldn't ever admit it?
They did. The house of Suffolk did it.
The royal family ain't what it appears to be.
Neither is the old gray mare.
Ain't what she used to be.
She had owned the single tree right there in front of me.
Oh,
Eureka.
I'm going to be going this summer to Eureka. Jim's family comes in next week, and after they leave, we're going.
We only been talking about it forever.
I know. I'm going.
Hey, Barbara,
I'm going to go.
Are
yeah,
you talking
California.
About Northern California?
Yes.
Or is Ion talking about the TV show?
Both.
Oh,
but he's talking about physically going to Northern California and watching the show. Correct, Ion?
You'll be able to watch it being taped, recorded?
It never rains in Southern California.
I can get it on the internet. I've watched some of them already. There's a significance to the town itself, so I'm going to go. And is there any significance that they're one of, like, 10 towns that have this new 14-ton military vehicle when they only have 27,000 people in the town? Like, what do they need, the SWAT team, big, you know, it's like from the war. They were one of the cities that got one of those 14-ton SWAT team I don't know how to describe it. I forgot what it's called.
There is much to protect there.
But I thought so. So the TV show is hinting at some real stuff happening in that town.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, now, let's see if Renee's got any questions here, Barbara.
Okay. Well, my question to Ion is, I would like, since you're not hooked with JW anymore, could you start doing private readings again?
We never did private readings.
Or a private session.
Engagement.
Are you quibbling about the word choice, Ion?
No.
So why do you say you never did private sessions?
No, readings. He said he didn't do readings.
Yeah, and then he said he's not quibbling over the words.
We're not. We're not quibbling.
So,
they weren't readings. We don't read.
What were they, Ion?
Interactions with non-physical.
Okay, I would like you to begin to do interactions with non-physical again.
Did you do the last things we told you to do? Yes. I am. No, easy.
You know you didn't. The labyrinth came in.
Yeah, there's the labyrinth right over there.
But I did, blue-haired ladies did find me.
Well, imagine that. And you're surprised?
No.
Good.
What'd they do with you when they found you, Renee?
This is a little top secret, so I'm going to shut my mouth.
I am predicted it in one of your private sessions?
Yes, that the blue-haired ladies would find me, and oh, God, they found me.
Hold on. Let's go back to Eureka.
Okay.
Indian Island.
You want me to go visit there?
Do.
And Ion, I would like someone to come and help me because I'm not a negotiator. And in my belief, because that's what I've been thinking for a little bit, the policy people, it would be better to be closer to them. There's something that I'm dealing with, but my labyrinth of my mind is screwing with me. And it's the West End State, and I don't know if I can do this on my own.
Are you talking about insurance policies, that kind of stuff?
No, what was in one of my sessions, and the policy enforcers. So I thought that the building that I needed to find was closest to the policy enforcers, just to be safe. And then the other question was, some people want to be anonymous, and some people don't want to be anonymous. And I don't know how to deal with this, and that's why I want to have private sessions. I'm not a businesswoman. However, I want...
Just do it here. There ain't going to be any private sessions, so do it right here. Nobody cares. Nobody's listening.
One question.
Information department
is put
in the archives for
it'll be broadcast information.
Should I be closer to
Yes. And you should go eat it at Rita's, Barbara.
Okay, eat at Rita's. Okay. I'm going to meet someone there.
Want to?
Sure. Looking for excitement.
Really? If you're going to do that? Really?
What? Okay, I'm going to Eureka. You've asked me to go. You've mentioned it many times. There's obviously some significance here for me. Can you tell me or describe, like, the significance of this trip or what I should be looking for?
Then go to the hole in the wall. Broadway Street.
Okay.
Did Ian tell you to go to Eureka before tonight?
Yes, he's mentioned it several times.
Every single time we've had interaction.
I'm definitely going. I'm definitely going. I'm planning.
Yep.
I am definitely going. After they leave, we're going to take a trip up there. It's almost to the border of Washington, so anyway. I'm going to definitely go up there, and I've already started watching the shows.
Do you get any more questions about Prince William and the bloodline?
What's the significance of the bloodline? Why didn't they just use Princess Di? Why did they need to do any of the scientific mixing?
You wasn't ascended.
She wasn't ascended?
Who wasn't ascended, Ian?
A Spencer woman.
Diana was not ascended, so the bloodline that they're using is ascended?
Yes.
So ascension can be passed on, is what you're saying?
Contrived.
So they're trying to give them a head start or a helping hand?
Head gravy. Bob, they're trying to give them head gravy.
You know, by using this blood that's ascended, they're giving him a head start or a heads up, or I'm not.
Well, ask it.
Well, he said yes. He said contrived.
What is the purpose of him being born not from his so-called mother, Diana?
Destiny.
So they can see the bigger now, and they're just playing their parts?
Pumpkin gravy head.
I find it rather funny that Prince William's newborn looks just like him. Is that a clone?
Are you talking about Harry?
No, the new son.
No,
but
Harry.
He's talking about pumpkin gravy head. That's Harry.
Oh. Ginger.
Mary Ann. The professor. Thurston Howell III and Levy.
So does Prince Harry play a bigger role than Prince William later on?
Roots? Alex Haley.
Okay, what does that have to do with Prince Harry?
Destiny.
Now, the last time we were talking about destiny versus fate.
Well, destiny and ascension, are they the same thing?
What about the Tony?
No, Morrison they're not.
Book, Beloved.
Okay.
We're not.
Levy. He was married to Thurston Howell III.
That would be what's he poo?
Yeah, then Levy.
Lovey Poo, yeah.
So you brought up pumpkin gravy head. So you brought up Prince Harry. Is there's a reason why you brought him up in relation to this ascension business, contrived and...
Will Harry be the ultimate king, or will Prince William
Yeah, that's Bob.
Or the little son.
We can't say. We can't say because Bob.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
We're talking about whether Prince Harry would become king. What's the significance of, you know...
A land girl's dream.
Who's older, Prince William?
Well, William is.
He's married, so William's going to become king, right? What?
A land girl's dream.
Yeah, I know what that means. I know what that means.
What does that mean?
What does that mean, Bob?
It's about the Queen Mother. She's the land girl. It's an attempt to get Mary, Queen of Scots, back in charge again.
Yay! That's King James's mama. We like King James.
Oh, yeah, King James.
North of Pride always
mama.
Criticizing the King James version, Ion. We have to get a debate on between you and me.
Fuck him, the worst of the piece of shit.
Okay, so you got the, you know, you got the closet Mary Queen of Scots, Catholic blood coming through the Queen Mother, and so the Queen Mother saved everybody, and so Mary Queen of Scots has actually got the edge here.
So it's all ancestral.
Ancestral, did you say, or incestral?
I think she said ancestral.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good combination. And spinning its way.
It most certainly is. The flippity flop's got a fly to the fly.
So the Queen Mother, or Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Mother
is
the most important person in the 20th century, pretty well.
And Leopold.
And Marie Henrietta. So you get that triumvirate, or triangle. Leopold. He ends up committing suicide, and his wife, ex-wife sort of, Henrietta, creates all the technology, and Queen Mother takes advantage of it all.
And Bunny Mellon will never be the same.
Is the Queen Mother aware of all, of all of this?
She knows everything.
Yes.
She's not even here, but she takes the RNA drops. She's been dead for years, but still takes the drops.
Ion, did the Queen Mother go to the Guff?
There's a hole in the world tonight.
You know that song. I remember that song.
I know. By Eagles. And so...
Do you find Generation 108 to be sour as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
More so than otherwise?
It is, yeah, it is sour. It's like a little pucker. I mean, like a little, you know. The other one was a little bitter, and this one's more sour, I think.
Do you prefer it this way, or do you prefer it another way?
I prefer it always. So.
Good.
Okay, so back to the Queen Mother. Did she go to another dimension?
Is George Washington still hanging around?
No.
Is the Queen Mother hanging around?
Yes.
Is she in one of the castles?
Sometimes.
Thomas Jefferson, is he, like, totally disgusted about what's going on right now?
The Castle of May, mostly.
Castle of May is where she's staying.
Mostly. He can rent it.
Was she hiding in the walls, or what?
We didn't say.
Is it part of the Queen Mother's plan to have Prince Harry assume the throne?
Which one?
Okay,
the one
well.
In London, the palace.
No, the one in Essex.
No. The one in Essex?
Who is supposed to rule over the city of London?
The one from Essex.
Is Prince Harry of a different line than Prince William?
Yes.
Is there a reason why Prince Harry's favored over Prince William? For taking the throne in Essex.
We didn't say it was Prince William from Essex. We said his successor was from Essex.
No, I said Prince Harry.
We didn't.
Wait, you
said from Essex.
Well, Prince Harry,
the successor.
The
you said the successor will be from Essex?
That's correct.
And there's Prince Harry.
Well, that wouldn't be Prince William either, then. So the throne that the Queen Mother wants him to take is the one that we're all supposed to take, our own thrones. Is that correct? power, take the power back.
We adore the way you're driving this, but
to be
we adore the way you're driving this. The Victrola is hung a bit. You need Bob, darling.
Bob, please help. Okay, so he's saying the successor would be from Essex. And, okay, we want to go back to, like, the Queen Mother, her dream, or would it be her dream?
Well, the Queen Mother likes the little girl in there now. What's her name, Catherine or something? Middleton?
Kate.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, Kate. So the Queen Mother likes Kate. Now, Kate's married to William, so that gives William a bit of an advantage. Now,
are you saying the Queen Mother or
bloodline?
Okay.
What?
How do you know Queen Mother likes him? Because she's supposed to be dead, but or you're
no, no. And Middleton's been going with the guy for 10 more years, so she has
right,
a chance
okay.
to interact with the Queen Mother. And if the Queen Mother isn't dead, she's interacting with everybody.
Okay.
Probably delivering brownies to me or something. But this house in Essex, so there's these two houses. That could be the Protestant versus the Catholic. And Essex is one of them, or it's the Queen of Scots Catholic line. That's the battle, as far as I can understand it. If there's other levels of battles that might involve the Prussians, then that's why it gets complex. See, the Prussians own the crown jewels and everything. The Prussians took over a couple hundred years ago. The Prussians were maybe, they're quadrillionaires. They got a lot of stuff to work with.
But isn't that Iranian?
No, Prussia is near to the left of Poland.
Austria, Latvia.
Who are the Prussians with all the money and the crowns and the jewels? Who are these Prussians?
Did well. They did well at one point, 300-400 years ago, and probably related to Turn and Taxis. You can read about him in the Pynchon book, Crying of Lot 49.
I'm kind of confused because Ian said that the successor would come from Essex, but it seems like everybody went through a lot of trouble for the boys to be manufactured, or not manufactured, but the use of science to enable the bloodlines to be enlivened or brought back.
Well, the interesting thing is, what's the relevance of their wealth? How can their wealth be relevant to what we're bringing in? And they're trying to hold together their image, their status, their roots to an old basis of wealth, which is pretty unsupportive right now. If everybody's taking on their power, why do we care about their power?
So what is the significance, or were they trying for something and then it's like it doesn't really matter anyway? They went to all that trouble for naught?
Probably. I'd take that view.
What would you say, Ian?
We really prefer Kate.
Kate Middleton.
What's her deal? Is her bloodline significant? Okay.
Yes.
Who's the most famous person in her bloodline?
Based on whose position?
Middleton was the great
grandmother. She's married to Prince William.
Oh. Member of the Lupton family, who for a number of generations were woolen cloth merchants and manufacturers active in civic affairs. That means they were working with the Prussians about 200 years ago.
Okay, Bob, when you say the Prussians, are you just not mentioning the family names, or are you just speaking about a whole group of people?
I'm talking about a circle of people that are very wealthy and have been wealthy for a long time, therefore were able to maneuver that when that kind of wealth meant something. They got into a position of influence. They remained there, and now they're watching us and saying, I think Bob's got more influence than we have. They're trying to figure out how to refurbish their sense of power, and they can't. They can't keep up with us. Let's not get distracted by Ion's nostalgia for the good old days when Ion could influence those old-fashioned people. Ion doesn't even care now.
We would like to thank our kind sponsor at RNAReset.com for sponsoring this session, Fireside Chat with, guess who, your favorite, Dr. Carolyn Dean. Please note that this broadcast was recorded live in front of a recorded studio audience. Hey, Dr. Dean, welcome to this week's special edition of Fireside Chat with Dr. Carolyn Dean.
What are we going to talk about this week?
We're talking about the Royals. Everything's about the Royals this evening, darling. and we've pinpointed it from Essex, and we've got Barbara finally going to Eureka, told her where to go to see what's going on out at the island so she can finally put some stoppers in some of them globs that she's been hemmed up with for so long. And Renee's back and doing real good. It's very pleasurable to hear from her again. She's been here all along, but she's catching up. So it's all good. But specifically this night, we want to ask some questions, and we want to figure out some details and some points of orders regarding lineage, royal order, the Queen Mother, Leopold, and specifically its effects, causal effects of RNA drops.
Well, all that means to me is just that the RNA drops are generational. That's what makes them powerful. It's got nothing to do with the live body royalty, as far as I'm concerned.
And here's where we'll add, and as far as the banter here, this is what the royals were looking for, trying to perfect their bloodline. Before they became the hemophiliacs. Now, we're not talking about the Torchwood version of the hemophiliac issue, although we have nothing against the oil from the kissing tree. We have nothing against that. However, this is about the quest. All of tonight so far has been about the quest. Everybody that's been on has been about a quest. They're trying to figure out electricity. They're trying to figure out bloodlines. They're trying to figure out destiny. They're trying to figure out all these, figure it out all these, figure out all these, figure out all the, the needle phone on the Victrola again. So, since this seems to be the moniker, pardon the pun, tell us now about the royal RNA in you as you take these things, this stuff. We don't even know the right word to describe it. You may have better words. We love your words because it moves mountains, your words do. This stuff that you take in your mouth. Can you tell us a little bit about the way to do it? Number one, let's just start at itch. If you were going to be tricked into taking this ascension thing and you embraced it, is there a specific way you would go about it, Dr. Dean, that would be most pleasurable?
I mean, you preambled there. So my preamble is that people have been looking for the fountain of youth, the Ponce de Leon. They've been knowing that they can be eternal and think they have to take some action to do that. What you've been telling us, or what you started to tell us, was that we're gods, we can just know that, and we can ascend. But then when nobody really jumped on that bandwagon, we decided, Bob and me and Ion, to go ahead with this D-cell formula and create something, and people could take this, and by default, they could ascend. So that's very briefly how it all began.
That would be basically, in our version, a force majeure of ascension. You're forcing the issue.
Right, and, you know, on my end, I guess it was out of a sense of frustration, but not even knowing I was frustrated, not even knowing something would be created. But when you go to the hindsight position and see that all along I've been trying to encourage people to express their gifts, I always saw the best in a person. But it came to the point where I just, well, you know, I never did, and I wouldn't try to talk someone into taking better care of themselves. I just give them information. But that really didn't go over so well. It's gotten more and more difficult for people to take their own action. They have a lot of reasons why, you know, arguing for their limitations, that they just have been on too many drugs, had too much surgery, have too much stress, have too much responsibility, have no money, all the excuses. So I guess part of why I dove into this unbeknownst, was just, okay, fine, then we'll just make something, give it to you. But probably it's like when I did the REMAG, you do it for selfish reasons. I did it for myself. It's like Bob and I wanted to have the D-cell. We wanted that water purification, and then the RNA drops came out of that. So anyway, the RNA drops with the different levels of ion being involved and Joe Dunn Sloan having given us the formula decades ago, and it all came to a good pivotal point when, you know, one of the first questions we asked Ion was, okay, help us make the D-cell. And it's, how many years later, Bob, are we? 5 years later, oh my gosh. And we've been taking the drops for over 3 years. And as I heard Renee say earlier, her mother thinks that they're too sour. Well, I mean, when I first took the drops, they tasted like tobacco to me. They tasted like dirt and tobacco. And I immediately thought, oh, I guess I'm trying to detoxify the smoking that my father had done when I was a kid. And that's the thought that came to me. The whole experience with me and with the RNA drops is that I know they are something special because Ion has told us they are. I know they're special because I feel different on them. Each new batch tastes different. We've now got the white substance that we call the white stone drifting out of the RNA drops. If you put your RNA drops in a clear bottle and don't leave it in the blue bottle, then you'll see this layer. I mean, I have a big Reebok bottle, so I've got like 3/4 of an inch of this white stuff. This is a creation. If you take some barley sprouts and do anything to them, you're not going to get white stuff. There's something being created here. You know, we're doing all the testing and the microscopy and everything to document this eye cell that's being created in the RNA drops. It's a unique, patentable substance. Bob got Ion to tell us that it's from another world, and it may very well be. We're at a level in our evolution that we can devolve if we want to, or we can continue to evolve. And I choose to think that RNA drops are one of the ways that we're evolving.
Carolyn, I have been online in the last 4 weeks, and there's a few people that I want to send information. And a lot of the testimonials are gone. There's one person that I want to send it to, and I want to talk about the RNA drops and cancer. So how can you maneuver me to where I need to send them the information?
At this point, you go to Ginny's site, 2012rnaradio.com. Ginny has a lot of incredible YouTube, she's got audio, she's got a lot of the testimonials there right in the top bar. It has RNA drops testimonials. You'll find just dozens and dozens of testimonials and YouTubes that you can send along to people, and it's a beautiful little site.
I did find that site, but it seemed to be less than before.
Yeah, of course it's less than. It all got totally blown up. So you make do with what we have until, I was just going to say, Ginny is creating another site where she and Melody Rhodes are going through the year and a half of my Monday shows and excerpting all the testimonials from those shows. And I think there's something about it. You can type in a word and you'll be able to jump to a testimonial.
Yeah.
So that's going to be pretty cool.
And I went to one interview. It was like an hour interview. And I typed my sister and said, this will give you a great introduction to Carolyn Dean and what she is talking about. That was received very well. And then I've got another person that's a little bit more hesitant. So I'm going to probably do the same thing. But it was a really
right
interview.
I kind of just basically say to people, because I don't promote it a lot, and, you know, maybe I should, because week by week I find out how incredible the RNA drops are, but I tell people sample bottle.
Well, and the one I direct them to is the magnesium one, which is awesome. Mother's doing so well. She's like, I haven't taken it for 3 days, and I understand that this is a good thing. So that made me feel good, but again, I had to teach her, get up, take this stuff, and do your business.
The REMAG is a great entry point for people into the whole completement line, but we do want people to get to the RNA drops, and as I was saying, that's why we have the sample bottle. It's only $14.99. If you order your REMAG, just pop one in and give that to friends or family to try. To me, that's the best way for someone to get a feel for it, and it's kind of on an intuitive level.
Exactly.
When people read a bit about it or just hear about it, they say, okay, I'm going to take that, and that's all we ask for. I don't know that we're going to be doing big media pushes, because it's just for whoever will.
But I found that the people that I talk to are more willing to listen to the magnesium stuff than the RNA drops, because that's a little bit of a different perspective.
And if you're interested in educating people, you just say, start with the RNA drops. You'll see how amazing that is, and then move to the other products, because they're even more amazing, and just leave it like that. I mean, you can't be responsible, as you know, for other people's health.
I wrote down here all the prescriptions my mother is taking. She's taking lovastatin at 40 milligrams. That's for cholesterol. And levothyroxine, that's for thyroid. And then something else for heart attacks and strokes. And she did have a stroke back in the Thanksgiving area. And then an antidepressant. I talked to Ion, and I'm going to up her magnesium and then give her some Relight. I just really wanted to wean her off all this crap. It's really hard, because she is from the depression era. Oh, you have a pill? I'll take care of it.
Yeah. I know. I'd like to really interview some of these you know, mothers and fathers about what they really think these pills are doing, and if are they looking at it, at what Marcus Welby or Dr. Kildare, or do they imagine that these are doctors sitting in their living room and patting them on the arm and saying, oh, just take this, dear, it'll be okay? I mean, don't they get it that they have side effects with these drugs?
No, you got it. Quaaludes. Mother's gonna help her.
Yeah.
Mother, you're crazy, girl, but I'll take it anyway. She believes me, but yet she doesn't believe me. And the whole thing is that I have to put her pills in her little pocket things, and then I always gave her the magnesium with a little tea, and now she's doing that on her own. So now I want to amp it up, well, like twice a day. But she's still got the... The prescription drugs are, they tell me it's good.
I know, and it's kind of the easy way out for a lot of people to just leave it to the doctor to tell them what to do.
Yeah,
and
you don't have to own it after that.
Maybe that's part of it, they just haven't been taught that they can take responsibility for their own health. I've got a testimonial somewhere. I think it was a 92-year-old woman. She was a cousin of somebody who started her on REMAG for her blood pressure, and she was on a couple of medications, and she just finally decided that she was going to get off them because she was feeling so much better on the REMAG, and she did, and her blood pressure kept improving. The unfortunate thing with being on more than two, well, even sometimes one medicine can do you in, but being on several medications, they're definitely going to be draining your magnesium. So almost a losing battle trying to get enough in you to overcome the drugs and then to treat the condition.